Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So you know how much I love the stories coming out of the Capitol insurrection and the stupidity that goes along with it. Well, this one's just as good. William Robert Norwood III. Yes, there were two before him. He texted the day of the big deal that he was going to dress up, look just like Antifa, and he was going to get away with it. He was going to get away with anything he wanted. So he did. He dressed up like Antifa, whatever uniform I guess he thinks they have. He dressed up in that. He stormed the Capitol. He did his deal, beat up some cops, destroyed some stuff, stole some stuff, and then texted to a friend that he got away with it. Except he didn't. On February 25th, he was arrested for violent entry, disorderly conduct, obstruction of justice, theft of government property, host of other charges. Yeah, he got away with it. And what I love is when these criminals who think they got away with it decided to broadcast their crimes. Strange times we live in. Anyway, here to share some fun and excitement, CPAC, the golden big boy. All of that, I've asked Steve Hofstetter, comedian, to come back and share some thoughts and maybe explain why. Why in the middle of a pandemic, in the winter, would you move from L.A. to Pittsburgh? Steve, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
So what do you think of these guys who constantly broadcasted their treason and then somehow are shocked when they got caught?
Well, I mean, I do understand it in a way, because as we learned from the impeachment process, apparently you can't get charged for a crime if you've already finished committing the crime. So if we use that as an example, then it would seem like that guy got away with it.
Yeah, well, I hope he takes solace in that as he's sitting in prison. And hopefully he sits there for a very long time, because he got away with it for that day.
Yeah, it is. Do they have access to Parler and Gab in prison? Who knows?
There is that. So let's get to the big question, the one that is on my mind. In the middle of a pandemic, you move from Los Angeles to Pittsburgh in the winter. Why?
I did. First of all, I chose the end of the winter. That was on purpose. When I put an offer on the place, they were like, can you do a 60-day close? And I did the math, and I was like, January, let's do a 90-day close. I'll be there at the end of February. I'll take a couple of weeks of cold. I have been looking at old buildings just as a hobby forever. I always wanted to take an old movie theater or bank or church or something like that, something with just this cool old architecture, and, you know, turn it into a comedy foundation. And when I saw this one for sale, I fell in love with the building. And the more I looked into Pittsburgh, the more I realized it's such a great place to be based as a stand-up. It is within a short drive of 18 other stand-up comedy markets, and it is within a short flight of 2/3 of the population of the U.S. and Canada. It's a great place to be based as a touring comic once touring becomes a thing again.
If it ever becomes a thing again. Yeah. Although, hey, good news. Texas and Mississippi, both 100% wide open.
I think Texas in particular, like, the instinct as a comic is, like, make fun of Mississippi. But really, look at Texas, because they are dead last in vaccination rates. And I chose dead as the word in there on purpose. They are not only last in vaccination rates, every day they are either first or second in the most amount of cases, despite California being a much more populated state than they are. And they're doing very, very poorly with it. So why not celebrate by doing worse? What a great idea.
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, I think Greg Abbott's going to be the 2024 Republican nominee for president. I know everyone's talking about Trump and the CPAC thing came out. I think Abbott, I mean, the way he handled the pandemic, the way he handled the Texas freeze, I mean, he's continually falling down. And as we learned during the Bush administration, you only fail upward.
Yeah, well, Radu Bhandar is a comic that I tour with sometimes, and he has a joke about Texas having elected a horrible governor. And after I saw him do that joke for the first time, I just went over to him and I was like, which one do you mean? Like, it's been a couple.
Bush, Perry, which one?
Yeah, Bush, Perry, Abbott. It's almost like it's a challenge where they're like, who can we elect next? And it's getting worse every time. It's amazing that of the three of them, Bush was probably their best.
Well, you know, I don't even know where to go with that, because it's funny, but it's not even a joke.
Yeah, it's I actually, here's what I think. I think they're playing 3D chess because they just had this horrible, horrible failure of their utility policy and their energy policy. And they realized that because they privatized this, that, you know, the next time they have a storm, which will happen again, that a lot of people are going to die. And they were like, how do we prevent people from dying in this, in the next storm? And they were like, I know, if they die of COVID before the storm, then they can't get killed by the storm. It's brilliant.
And again, that's not even funny, but it seems to be what it is. Now, let's get back to the church. You bought a church.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't have the church wide open yet, or can you? Can you?
No. But even if we're allowed to, we're not going to until COVID is behind us. It's been interesting because a lot of the neighbors are really interested in what's going on. And, you know, they'll stop by and say hi. And I have to just be like, hey, I'm not inviting you in. Like, COVID is still a thing. You're very sweet to come say hello, but you're doing it from outside and it's cold. So let's keep this short.
Yeah, leave the pie and cookies. Move on your way. Leave the casseroles. Move on your way, right?
Well, yeah, just because of the situation that we're in. And I am very excited to eventually be able to open. And in addition to, you know, to it being a church that we're turning into this arts center, there's also a three-bedroom home on the property as well that we're going to be using to house comedians for free. And so we actually just opened up that application process, and we've already gotten several dozen applications. And that's something that we can do before the end of COVID. And so I'm very excited about that. We're fixing the place up. I feel like I've been unpacking for 2 weeks, even though I've only been here a week and a half. And there's a lot to do, but it's going great.
So the website, steelcityaf.com. Steelcityaf.com. We'll get links out on how people can check that out. So basically what you're doing is like Comedy University kind of thing.
Yeah, it's something where we're creating this, you know, live, work, play environment, but there's also going to be a great deal of mentorship to it. There's going to be, you know, a great deal of learning to it. Two of our board members are educators. We have an insane board. We have Elaine Boozler, Greg Proops, Josh Wolf, I Justine, Arian Foster. It's a crazy board of just, you know, kind of who's who in social media and comedy. And, you know, our vision is to teach the next generation to not take as many lumps as we did.
That sounds awesome. And I can't wait till things open up. And if we continue and if we do the right things, maybe it'll be sooner as opposed to later, because Biden has said by May we should have enough vaccine for everyone, even though I'm a big Governor Wolf's fan. You know, I think Tom Wolf has done a good job. Little freaked out about the, hey, we're going to start opening things up. You know, don't worry about travel stuff at this moment. I would have liked to have seen that a month down the road.
Well, the thing that people also forget is that if you take the vaccine and, you know, let's use Pfizer as the example. It's a 3-week in between doses. And so if you were to get vaccinated today, you wouldn't be actually fully vaccinated because it's a 3-week dose and then 2 weeks for efficacy. So you wouldn't be fully vaccinated till mid-April. So if we have enough vaccines for everybody by the end of May, first of all, we have to distribute them to everybody. And even then, we're looking at mid-July. So it's gonna be a bit. Now, not everybody has to get vaccinated in order for us to reopen again, just enough people, but it's still gonna take a while. And at the current pace that we're on right now, we don't hit 70% until late September.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at vaccination stats like it's spring training baseball. So I've been.
Are you gonna get vaccinated?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, let me push someone out of the way.
So you're not crazy. I'm happy about that.
No. I mean, like the people who say, oh, I don't know what's in the vaccine. I'm not going to put it in my body. It's like, okay, you say that while you're eating Taco Bell and drinking Mountain Dew. So shut up. Like these are the same people who take pills from strangers. So, you know what? Shut up and get vaccinated.
Yeah, to me, it's that simple. Then the rest of us can have something of a normal life. Or get back to somewhere near normal. I doubt it's going to be anytime soon we get back to normal, but I'm hoping soon. Because, look, I'd love to go back to comedy clubs. I would love to go back to doing the things we did before Trump and the virus and all that.
Yeah, I don't think normal is going to happen for a couple of years, because normal also includes international travel without quarantine. And that's going to take some time. But I think that we will get back to a shadow of normal sometime over the summer, I'm hoping.
Now, you guys have, you know, during this pandemic, you've been doing this online comedy club thing that I think is fantastic. Tell me about it.
Yeah, Nowhere Comedy Club is the leader in the digital comedy space. We have done over 300 shows. We actually just sold our 50,000th ticket. We just had Bill Burr do a headlining set for the first time. It was the first digital show he's done, and he expressed interest in doing more, so fingers crossed that he will. We've had about 15 shows from Mike Birbiglia. We've had Ida Rodriguez and Alonzo Bowden and just so many incredible, incredible comics doing shows. Not only that, but the guest stars that stop by, we've had Jon Hamm and Jack Black. And I mean, it's really just been incredible because distance is no longer an issue. Every Monday night, I do a show with a comic buddy of mine in Australia. So it's Tuesday morning for him, Monday night for me. And we tour together when we can, but that's rare because we have to be able to be in the same place. But, you know, for the last year, we've done a weekly show.
How much different is that than, you know, doing a, you know, a room full of people? I got to imagine that it's harder to do it by yourself, to do it, you know, in this virtual world than it is feeding off the people in the crowd.
Absolutely. It is much more difficult, but that's also, but it's different the same way that performing in a theater is different than performing in a club, which is different than performing in a bar, which is different than performing at a college or a corporate event. Like every type of event that you perform at is a little bit different. And so digital has now just become a new performance skill. There are different types of jokes that work better that wouldn't necessarily work as well in person and vice versa. And it's something to get used to because it's not going away. The thing that really opened my eyes to it when we were considering it in back in April, I did a little, you know, analysis, and 80% of the people who follow me on social media had never been to a live show. 80% of my audience had never seen me live. And that really opened my eyes to ask the question, why? And the reason is because a night out is very expensive. In addition to the ticket, you're also paying for parking and food and drink and babysitting and things like that. Also, there are some people who live in places I'll never go to. I will just simply never go to. There was a kid who watched one of the digital shows hiding under the covers on an iPad so his parents wouldn't find out because he was a 16-year-old in Croatia. And there was someone who watched from their hospital bed, and we've had a few different people watch who have severe agoraphobia and aren't able to leave the house. But this is a way that they're able to get entertainment. Yeah. So it's life-changing for some people.
Yeah, I found out, you know, during the break that you actually came to where I live in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I thought this was a place that nobody ever came.
I did. I played the Carlisle Theater twice. Once was, you know, opening for a bigger act in order to kind of advertise the upcoming show. And then once was my show. And I'll be honest, as much as I enjoyed it, I'm probably not coming back because it is not a large market. And for the most part now, I play large markets. And, you know, either if you live in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, maybe I'll play Harrisburg and you can drive there. But most likely you're going to drive to Philly or Pittsburgh or Baltimore. And that's a hike, and that's a cost, and that's time out of your life. Whereas if you watch a show at Nowhere, you can get there 5 minutes before the show, leave immediately after, and already be in bed.
Yeah, and not get heckled if you show up 5 minutes late.
Absolutely. And also for the performers, you know, it has been incredible. I have dealt with one heckler in the last year.
And yeah, but whoa. But that's how I found you. I think what put you really on the map for a lot of us,
yeah,
is that you do these really fantastic heckle videos. And look, I don't want to get on your bad side.
Well, I appreciate that, but it and that's what's incredible though on these digital shows. You know, we're not getting hecklers because the people, first of all, you're on camera for the most part. I mean, you could shut your camera off if you know and do it anonymously, but for the most part, there's a record of who you are. You could get banned from Zoom completely, and then you can't be a cat lawyer anymore. You know, there are repercussions. And not only that, it's so much easier to find the person. If you're doing a theater and you get heckled, you know about where it's from. And then you have to be like, who was that? And then the bouncer has to go over and try to figure it out. And then it's really awkward to get the person to stand up and slowly leave, you know, bring them to the lobby. Whereas you heckle in this, we see your mic light up, we know who it is, they mute you, you unmute yourself, you're bounced, game over. And then we just get to do the show. It's the best.
Yeah, and you don't need people like me. Like when I was younger, I worked as a bouncer in a number of places where we'd drag you out and We drag you out. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. we got virtual ones now. We just, you know, people just disappear. It's the best.
I hope people will check it out. Also, the steelcityaf.com, your new project, the Nowhere Comedy Club, and we'll get that out. Before I let you go, I got to get your thoughts on the Bob's Big Boy Golden Calf, whatever that was, at CPAC thing. Thoughts?
Well, when Mexico sends their statues, they're not sending their best. The idea that it was made in, of course it was made in Mexico.
Of course it was.
Because this fake patriotism that the right tries to claim is absolute garbage. And the everything from disrespecting the flag to praying to false idols to the fake America First garbage, it was everything that the left already knows is true about the right. And they put it on display with no irony whatsoever, and then people kissed it and took pictures with it.
No, that was incredible. But my favorite was the magic wand. That was my of the whole thing. He was holding like a magic wand.
I didn't even know that.
Like a scepter of some sort. And I'm going, you know, it's the perfect bit. I mean, you're mocking religion. You're definitely trashing the Constitution, and then the magical thinking. I love that image, and I want one, a small one. I don't want a big one. I'd like a bobblehead one. So if someone makes a bobblehead one of those, I hope someone will send me one.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll send you half a gallon of gold paint, and I'll get you Bob's Big Boy, and you'll have it.
Well, that's the beginning, I guess. But great. No, I mean, it's. I saw that. I'm going, you know, this they've jumped the shark. I mean, this is really just CPAC is no longer has any credibility whatsoever. At one point, they did have conservative thought, and I paid some attention. Now it was just, well, and then the Nazi symbol, come on.
Yeah, it is a convention of conservative con men. I think it should be called Con, which could be spelled with C's or K's. It's up to you.
There you go. Good stuff. Steve, I appreciate the time, man. Good talking with you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Good stuff, Steve Hofstetter. Make sure you check out his work over at his website, stevehofstetter.com. We'll get links out to that. Also, steelcityaf.com. Most certainly take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith.